Well, we talk fantasy football 2012. We are finished the week 8 of the NFL season. We're in show 8 of this season for us. And this episode, I am Mo, your host, joined as always by the championship award-winning manager, Brett, who is our analyst. Brett?
I got the trophies to prove it.
Woo! You do. Someday we'll take a picture of some of those. Put them up as the show picture. But meanwhile, what we're going to do this week is we're halfway through the season. And this show is going to be called I'm Frustrated By. Because we're going to talk about things that, after 8 weeks in, are frustrating us about the fantasy football season so far. So, Brett, what are you frustrated by? What's kind of the first thing that pops into your head?
First thing that pops into my head is just I'm gonna say the first thing is tight ends. Mm. I'm frustrated by tight ends.
And why is that?
Because it's virtually impossible to find a good one. You have Gronkowski, who is heads and tails the best tight end, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen that much of Jimmy Graham, but I'm sure that he's a pretty good tight end this year.
Yeah. Well, let's just call it up here. I mean, let's just look at the tight end points. But I think I see what you mean. I mean, you have a lot of players who you thought you would be able to count on or thought would emerge who haven't necessarily done so. You got a lot of guys like Jason Witten's been hot the last few weeks, but was terrible at the beginning of the season. Gates has never stood out all year. Jermichael Finley, you wonder if he's ever going to regain his form. Hernandez has been hurt by injury problems. Help me out here. What's the name of the fellow? Rudolph in Minnesota.
Kyle Rudolph, yeah.
A player that you expected to step up who never really did. Someone like Bennett in New York, who was great for the first few weeks and completely dropped off. Did I already say that?
No, you didn't. But Bennett is exactly the example that I was considering. It's just because here's a guy who, there's so many, who started off hot and are now nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Dennis Pitta.
Dennis Pitta is another perfect example of where you thought you had yourself a starting tight end. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, I got to put this guy on the waiver wire because he's just not doing it. Fred Davis's injury and inconsistent play even before that. Another one. Brandon Pettigrew is another guy who at least in the past you could be consistent, even if he wasn't spectacular. But you're not even getting that. I mean, really, when you look at it, you got Gronkowski. And Vernon Davis has been very good as well. And after that, I mean,
Heath Miller is your number two tight end.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Things are weird in tight end, Bill. And it's not that I don't think that Heath Miller has the talent to be a good tight end, but it's just that he's suddenly getting used. Tony G, I mean, he's found the fountain of youth yet again.
But, you know, he's cooled off the last few weeks again as well. He's somebody else who was better at the start of the season than last little while. It's just... The inability, you're right. I mean, coming into the season, we were talking about in the draft how there was so many guys who... It looked like there was 15, 16 guys who could be starting tight ends. And there was so much depth that we didn't see any reason to really, unless you thought you were getting a stud, draft one too early. And instead, there's only one guy you really count on.
Well, right now, I think the biggest problem is that there's 8 tight ends that you can kind of... count as starters. Several of which were available very late. Heath Miller, Owen Daniels, Kyle Rudolph. But the truth is that in 12-team leagues, 8 tight ends, I mean, the last 4, you're talking about Bennett, Jared Cook, who barely gets used, Scott Chandler, Brent Celek, Jermaine Gresham.
Well, exactly. I mean, if we're talking about even players like Graham and Rudolph and Witten and Bennett, or these guys are, you know, we're talking about these guys as technically, I guess, being starters. If you talk about the top 8, well, I guess I'm talking about the last 3 of those. If you look at the top 5 here, you have Gronkowski, Miller, Gonzalez, Daniels, and Davis. Those guys I feel comfortable with. But Rudolph, Graham, and Witten, yeah, they're giving you the numbers. Like I say, none of them has been consistent for week to week. I mean, they've had some big games, and they've had some I mean, Witten's coming off an 18-catch game, and he's still the eighth highest tight end. What does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, he's got two absolutely amazing games, and then he's got three games that are really horrible, pretty much.
Exactly.
So he's not exactly... He's very up and down.
The same thing about a Kyle Rudolph, you know? I mean, yeah, okay, he's the sixth best tight end, and you plan because he's the sixth best, but he's being up and down as well.
I see a zero in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of the point. I think you're right. The frustration with the tight ends, definitely. So, you know, it's been a very strange season that we saw tight ends being used by teams as weapons more over the last few years. But we're not seeing it this year, you know. But let's look at the real... I mean, there's a couple of guys that... Another guy, Chandler, another one who looked great and then has died. Just died, you know. Pitta, you already mentioned. And you got someone like Brandon Myers who's on his way up. I would pick him up if you're looking for a tight end because he's on his way up and you might as well take a chance on him. That said, how much do you trust a guy like him?
Well, the thing is about Myers is that he's never going to give you... He's probably never going to give you the 18-point game that some of these do. But he's going to give you probably a consistent 4 to 5.
And tell right you the truth, now, right now in the tight ends, that's... If you're struggling for someone, that's decent.
Because at least he gets targets.
Yeah.
That beats the hell out of Antonio Gates or Tremichael Finley.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And yet, at the same time, I can look here, and it's like, and in this league that I look at, Antonio Gates is owned, or Michael Finley's owned, but guys like Scott Chandler and Brent Celek are not owned.
And they're outperforming them. And, you know, Greg Olsen is someone else who's owned. I think of all the tight ends, I feel like he's the one who's most disappointed me. Because I look at the numbers that were putting up by the tight ends last year in Carolina, and the fact that this year he should have gotten all the numbers. I thought he was a nice sleeper, and he's just, you know, he's not. He's like what, the 14th highest rated tight end? It's just not there.
Yeah, and he's only put up one good game, and I think it's because, and I think this is, as fantasy football fans, we always fall prey to this. We always fall prey to heightened expectations and reaching a certain point where no matter what your expectations are, no matter what the supposed ceiling for this player is, you have to say, like, you know what? It's just not going to get any better. I need to go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's why people are holding on to Gates and Finley at this point, I'm wondering.
It's all name recognition. It's all name recognition.
They may have a good game or two, but you know, it's just not there. I'm gonna say, you know what, you said what's what frustrates you. If you had asked me this, I would have said the wide receivers. And the thing about that is, it's essentially it's the same thing, though. It is the receiving game. I think we're seeing a lot of quarterbacks who are spreading things around more than any other year. It seems like quarterbacks are spreading it around. It seems like we get a lot of injuries. I mean, I feel like we've had a lot of trouble locking down wide receivers that we can consistently count on. I mean, there's a few. Victor Cruz stands out. AJ Green stands out. Percy Harvin has been tremendous. Brandon Marshall has been very consistent outside of, I think, week two. Reggie Wayne has been very consistent. Some of these other guys then have had big numbers, but, you know, they've also had duds, but at least if you get a Colston or a Demaryius Thomas and these type of guys, it's like they have, you know, Jordy Nelson, they have their monster games and they're so monstrous that you can put up with their duds. But I just feel like there's been a lot of guys again that you just can't lock down and say, I know that guy's going to start for me every single week.
But I think what it comes down to is the fact that it's like we talked about last time. The guys that you drafted at the start, the Andre Johnsons, the Julio Jones, the Larry Fitzgeralds, all these guys are bringing up the rear. And you have the Victor Cruz, you have Percy Harvin, you have Vincent Jackson, you have Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas, Reggie Wayne is in the top 10. I mean, Hello?
Yeah, but you know what? I always look for consistency out of my wide receivers. That's what I just want. I want the wide receivers to not cost me the games. That's all I'm looking for, personally, out of wide receivers in my strategy. I say, give me safe wide receivers that I know are going to give me consistent points, and then give me the home run hitters and the quarterbacks and the running backs, and I think I'm going to beat you. And because I know a guy like Marcus Colston is like top six, and yet I know he's had some great games and some duds. And I know the same thing about Vincent Jackson, right? And Thomas. And I think that's what's very, very frustrating. Again, for me, I'm frustrated by this because I don't know that I can count on them every single week.
There's next to nobody that you can truly count on.
I think Victor Cruz and maybe AJ Green are the only guys, and Percy Harvin. I feel like those three you can count on, but that's exactly it. There's virtually nobody. And that's why I'm frustrated by the wide receivers. I feel like I can't lock down knowing for sure every single week that that's it. He's starter proof. And that's difficult for just the style that I play.
No, I mean, it makes total sense. I mean, wide receivers are always a minefield, but when your top receiver, I mean, Calvin Johnson, pretty much the consensus number one receiver, has 40 less points than Victor Cruz, who leads the league right now.
Yeah, that says a lot, you know. And I think, I mean, just go by average points per game here. Let's just, let me just see where he sits. I mean, I don't think is he top 20? Something like that? You know, barely. And that's devastating. But again, it comes down to, again, most of these guys do have a good week or two. And this is even harder to me than the tight ends. At least the tight ends, I can look at Antonio Gates and go, one good week and I don't feel like I'm going to get another. I can look at Jermichael Finley and say, no good weeks, he's done. But when you look at a guy like, Dwayne Bowe, you can go 3 good games, 5 terrible games, what the hell am I supposed to do type of deal, right? And that's what's killing me is an inability. And like I said, it's good for the league. It's good for the quarterbacks. And we're getting consistent quarterback play. I know what I'm going to get. You may not always get the home run hitter, but I feel like it's not that hard to go, this guy's a safe quarterback I can start and I know what I'm going to get. It's not, for me, it doesn't feel like quarterback production or even running back production that's killing me. I'm generally, running backs, it has to do with generally a little bit with matchups and a lot of injury. But generally, I feel like I know which running backs are going to do what, and I can generally feel like I got them locked down, knowing if they're an R, I can say to you, that's an RB1, that's an RB2, that's a QB1, that's a QB2. I feel like I can't look at Larry Fitzgerald and say, is that a wide receiver 1? Is that a wide receiver 2? I'm still trying to figure it out halfway through the season. And for me, I think that's frustrating. Dwayne Bowe, I still don't know where he sits. Eric Decker, technically, by his numbers, is a wide receiver 1, but I still don't know that I can qualify him as 1. And again, that's where the frustration for me is, having the uncertainty still this far into the season. Usually by week 4, we got this locked down.
It's true.
So what else is frustrating you then?
I am frustrated by coaches and GMs who refuse to see what's in front of them and make the necessary changes on their football team.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it when there's a team who has a player who is just completely doing absolutely nothing for the team, and the coach refuses to make the change to the better player or even just another player, mm-hmm, because of ego. And now, I'm definitely going to start out by pointing my finger at Rex Ryan because...
No.
I know, it's shocking. I mean, I understand in the case of Sean Green, he doesn't have a better option behind him.
No.
There's nothing there. You might as well play Sean Green because, I mean, let's be honest, that team is so poorly managed anyways that if Sean Green is the best you can do, well, then play him and hopefully you get something for him.
Uh-huh.
But Mark Sanchez consistently proves that he is not the guy that should be starting on any football team.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that I'm a huge Tebow fan or anything like that, but the truth of the matter is, you brought him in for something, so why the hell not play him?
Well, when you're losing anyways, you might as well. Like, what are you going to finish, 7-9 with Sanchez? So you finish instead 5-11 with Tebow, At least you took a shot. And it kind of comes down to that. And, you know, I want Tebow in there. I don't think he's a better quarterback, because he's not. I think he's a better spark.
He's a leader.
He's a leader.
Which beats the crap out of Mark Sanchez.
People believe in him. He's a better spark. You know, I won't have to hear about who he's breaking up with, you know, anything like that dominating the headlines. But purely selfishly, fantasy-wise, he puts up way better fantasy numbers despite not throwing, right? And so, I mean, selfishly, I mean, as fantasy players, we should all want Tebow in there. I don't know. His win-loss record over the last 2 years is more impressive than Sanchez's. So.
Oh, absolutely. Or take the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. I mean, and I'm going to talk about Jared Cook. Because Jared Cook is a tight end with all the talent. But here's a guy who gets used on less than 50% of the plays.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not realize that he's definitely your best tight end, and he's one of your better players, mm-hmm. so you should put him out there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's very frustrating. Why aren't they using him more? I don't know. I know they feel they need blocking to get Chris Johnson going because their offensive line isn't good enough, but how well is this working out for you? I don't know. I do know that I look at Kenny Britt. He's a player worth dropping this week, and that's amazing because, you know, he looked like a guy who was a wide receiver one when he played last year. And we're expecting him to emerge into that again this year. But there's a guy, it's like, it's the opposite. Don't use him at all. You can't use him. And they don't use him. But I'm not actually calling them out for it this time. Like, you know, it's like he probably is your most... He's a better player than Nate Washington. If I'm running the team, I'd also rather play Nate Washington because Nate Washington doesn't have the knucklehead factor.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Britt just...
But Jared Cook doesn't either, so just use him.
Yeah. I mean, hell, run Jared Cook out wide in Kenny Britt's spot.
You know, why not? He's a tremendous athlete. And again, that's what it comes down to. The New York running backs, I feel like they're not playing the best player because, you know, again, it's the same thing. They want to keep everybody in the mix. They're being fair to everybody. And, you know, and Brown gets a few of the goal lines, and Bradshaw's their number one, but they don't ever lean on him heavily, and they're not making a choice. And David Wilson probably still has the most talent there, but they won't use him because he fumbled, you know, early in the season. So
yeah, I mean, and it's also not fair. Another thing that's, you know, I'll say even not fair, but
go ahead. Go ahead. What are you gonna say?
It's just a very small one.
Okay,
it's not fair that definitely one of the best wide receivers in the game,
mm-hmm.
is going to go out as an average wide receiver because the team will not upgrade its quarterbacking properly. Right. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
The Arizona Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's true.
He is turned into nothing but a mid-grade receiver because the Arizona Cardinals cannot replace Kurt Warner.
Yeah, exactly. Kurt Warner, by the way, I think should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
Throw that out there. Same thing. I think same thing. It's like Tony Romo to me. You've never groomed somebody to come in behind him, and now that he's looking not very good, you don't have another option. And to me, that's bad management. That's frustrating because he has. As far as a starting two wide receivers and starting tight end, as much talent available to them as any team. And yet they're not going to give us good numbers this year. Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, you know, even Witten, like we say, up and down, they're not going to give us the numbers they should have because their quarterback doesn't have it anymore. You know, it doesn't look like it, but you haven't groomed somebody who's possible to replace him. That's frustrating. I agree with you. That's a lot of that. Same thing. I mean, you and I play matchups on defenses a lot, and we generally do good with that. And I mean, we'll always get it wrong sometimes. But if you stay with one off defense, you'll always get it wrong sometimes. But I think it's frustrating to know for most people out there that I think there's only two defenses that you say, that's it, I'm safely starting them every single week. It's the Niners, it's the Bears, and that's it. And other than that, you're playing matchups, or if you're not playing matchups, and you're rolling with a team that you think is a top 5 or top 10 defense, and still say they're a starter, odds are you're getting a lot of duds mixed in with some good plays. And I think that's very frustrating for people again. Just not, there's no real starting defenses. There is a lack of starting defenses.
Well, I think this year, with the exception of a few teams, because Houston
rarely, I think you're right. I think you put Houston in there, yeah.
But for the most part, I have seen almost every team on the waiver wire.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Steelers, there was a time when you would never see the Steelers
on the Ravens. Waiver wire.
The Ravens, no way. The Jets, not going to happen. These were teams that were considered defensive powerhouses for a long, long time.
Or at least, you know, at least a starter. You know, you knew that they were going to finish top 8, top 10, and maybe they weren't going to be studs every week and lead the league, but you were safely starting them. And it doesn't feel like that exists anymore. So I think we're coming back to the same thing. That what's frustrating us, again, is an inability to lock down knowing that somebody is a defense one, defense two, kicker one, kicker two. All of this stuff feels inconsistent.
Well, the second highest scoring defense is the Giants. And as an example, in this league that we're looking at, they're on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Because I'm willing to bet if you drill into them, their points are highly inconsistent.
They are. You know what? They've had some great games and some crap games.
Now, I mean, that being said, San Francisco is the sixth because as much
again,
as they're
but again, don't look
defense.
At the don't look at the points because that buys throws that off, right? Look at the points average.
But
I think that gives us a little better.
Well, their average actually puts them
lower
in the bottom half of the league.
Yeah,
because they're not a scoring defense.
No.
But
at least they're going to give you. But look for duds, and I bet you if you look at it, you'll see not a lot of games that are great, but not a lot of games that are complete duds. Well, you know what? Yeah, I'm wrong.
But the Niners have had one game against the Jets where they scored 30 points, which for a defense is amazing, and so I think that's really skewed their defense. So. I mean, as much as everybody buys into the 49ers...
But you know what? You can buy into the 49ers. I still disagree with you. Because I'm going to say to you, okay, but they're top 10, right? And that's all I want. I know I can start them every single week. They're top 10. I know I can start them. I don't feel like Arizona is ahead of them, but do you feel like you can start Arizona every single week?
Hell no. I mean, we're in the process
Denver
of
and Miami. Denver and Miami are ahead of them. Do you feel more confident that you can start them every week and know what you're going to get than San Francisco? Maybe you'll get more spectacular games. But I think it's just the question that you don't feel like you know. Seattle, you only feel like you can start them at home. You know, things like that. Again, it just becomes frustrating. It's like you think you're going to play the matchups. And for you and I don't think it's that bad. But I think for a lot of people, just having that confidence in their defense, okay, that position is locked down, we're not going to worry about it. I think it's just harder this year than any other year in recent memory.
Well, you know, but that's true across the board.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really rare.
I think it's a little less so, like I say, quarterback, unless you're unfortunate enough to spend an early draft pick on Cam Newton.
But, I mean, there's Cam Newton, there's Michael Vick. I mean, there's...
Vick, yeah. There's those
lots
two.
Of potential... There is
but
still
there's been guys
players.
Who've emerged. There's been guys who've emerged there too to make up for it, you know. So I mean, yeah, okay, you're gonna, you know, an RG3 has emerged though. So a Josh Freeman has emerged though. So I mean, sure, you have a couple guys, but you know, I feel like Vic and Newton are guys that you probably held on to when you shouldn't have. And I mean, if you have a Freeman or you know. I don't know, even a Ben Roethlisberger, maybe even an Andy Dalton on the bench, and you're still playing Cam Newton over them, shame on you. Now, if you have Cam Newton and you have, I don't know, Christian Ponder on the bench, it's understandable that you don't know where to go, because they're about the same.
Yeah, I think one of the bigger questions and concerns that I would bring up about quarterbacks in this case is some of the disparity. The difference, and this is in the top 12, so I mean, theoretically, every one of these players should be starting for a team.
So by average again here. Let's just get a look at this.
But the disparity of the top 12 is, I mean, in scoring points, The number one quarterback has almost 80 points more than number 12.
Yeah.
And as far as average goes, I mean, it's certainly better.
It's 9 points a game, though. 9 points a game difference between Drew Brees and the number 12, Andrew Luck. You're in trouble. That's a 9 point hole you're starting at.
Yeah, that's a big difference right off the bat.
And if you have a guy like Eli Manning, who's 14 or 15, and you're still considered number one, or Cam Newton, and they start to be 11, 12 points behind, you're in real trouble.
And then when you add that up, you're not sitting them. No, and when you add that up with the wide receivers like you talked about, and not knowing who to play, you add that up to if you drafted JerMichael Finley as a higher round draft pick because you thought that he was going to.
Well, you can't lock down your tight end. You can't lock down your wide receivers.
You can't lock down your defense.
And you can lock down your quarterback as being a number 12.
Yeah.
You know, a starter, but not a top end starter. You're in trouble.
Yeah. Again. So where do you go? And so I think that that's one of the things that is frustrating is that there's an obvious disparity in some cases that you can't get past.
Yeah. Again, there's probably more quarterbacks you could say that guy's a starter every single week. I'd say your top eight you can confidently say, which is more than a tight end and maybe more than a wide receivers, but you know more than in defenses, but still not like in the past. Not like
but
in
no,
the past.
I mean when you're
the,
talking
the,
about
the inability
guys
to with... separate the inability to separate like I say, and a QB1, QB2, the inability to do that, you still can't say like the way he's playing. I mean, Eli Manning is a borderline QB1. But you got to plan like a QB1, but maybe you shouldn't. So what do you do? Again, you don't have a lot of choices. But I'll give you an example. I have a team where I have Eli Manning. I have Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has scored more points. He's averaging 2 more points a game. So do I play Andy Dalton over him? Can I? I should. Do I? I don't know.
No, because
the frustration is.
Yeah, I mean, because you just don't know. You
still don't have trust in the one guy, and you can't trust the other guy, even though you should. So
because some guys, and the reason that they're drafted high, they're more capable of going off for a large game.
Yeah,
and you never want to bench them because of that.
Yeah, but that's why Newton is a real killer, right? That's why Vic has been a killer.
Well, you can look at it though: Michael Vick, Cam Newton, and Tony Romo. All out of the bottom 12. Tony Romo has, in this case, 115 points. Less than 100, or more than 100, less than Aaron Rodgers.
Look at Matthew Stafford. Because he was a player we were hard on last week, saying, I'm not sure he should be starting him every single week. And again, he had a monstrous game, right? He had 37 points. And he's had a game with a couple 28-point games, a 23-point game. These skew it, though, because he's also had really games that aren't good enough to win with.
Yeah, he's had... Because an average quarterback game is around 15 points.
No, an average quarterback game is about 19 points.
Yeah, probably 19 or 20. Okay, yeah. And okay. He's had 2 to 3 average quarterback
games. So basically, if you look at it through... if you look at it, he's had 4 games above... If the medium is 19 points, 4 above, 3 below. And that... That means 3 times he can cost you a game, and 4 times he can win you a game. Only 1 time is he winning it all by himself.
I mean, the funny thing is that Aaron Rodgers has 3 games that are below an average, a good one.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
He's
but
had he's so many more that are so much above.
Well, that's the thing. He's had 5 games where he won you the game by himself. When he scores 51 points, he wins you the game by himself. And that's the difference. And Stafford's not doing that. He's had 1 game where you'd say he had 37 points and he won it by himself. And again, that's just, you want either consistency or give me a lot of up and down, but when you're up, you're really up because you won games by yourself. And again, because we don't play the home run hitter style, that style of all home run hitters, so you're going to have 3 duds and 5 great games, and it's going to even out every single week and you win from it because that's not our strategy, it's a tough year. To really nail things down. I think that's where my frustration lies. Maybe next year we go all out that strategy because that's where fantasy football is trending towards and changing towards. And maybe that'll be the way it goes for the next few years. And then it'll trend back to being a more consistent, like fantasy football goes on trends, NFL goes on trends, it's a copycat league, blah, blah, blah. maybe that's the trend, and maybe that's what we're learning here. Because as we sit here, we have a lot of teams that are on the bubble, need to make runs to get in, and a couple teams that we feel good about, and a couple teams that are right out of it. And I think maybe that's it. Is that the trend we're seeing, that home run hitters is the strategy for 2013?
I mean, it's really possible, because if we were going for home run hitters, then we typically would have drafted a Robert Griffin III as a backup QB.
Exactly.
And that would have gotten us a top five quarterback.
Exactly.
Right now. We would have drafted Cam Newton, but we probably would have backed him up with someone more dynamic.
Exactly, instead of somebody safe.
Yeah.
Like is what we're trying to do, you know?
You know, you would go with Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Because at some point, he's going to rock it out for you.
Yeah. Historically.
Yeah.
Historically, but I mean,
Peyton Manning is not a safe
Andre Johnson, though. Andre Johnson, somebody we own quite a bit. We probably wouldn't have, because Andre Johnson, his thing was he got 80 to 90 points and 8 to 10 TDs and 100 catches, but he never had your 200-yard game with 3 TDs. Like, he just wasn't that guy. He's never been that guy through his career. So we probably would have gone, okay, let's not go with him. Let's go with somebody who's more home runner. Brandon Marshall. And it changes his strategy, and we'd be better off. And I think everybody next year, looking at the trends, that might be the way fantasy football's trending.
But that being said, the home run hitter, in this case, we also could have said, well, fine, I'm not going to go with Andre Johnson. I'm going to go with Dez Bryant.
That's true. Well, not that early, we wouldn't have.
Probably
we would have
not,
said Calvin Johnson, and that still would have bit us in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to what you said about wide receivers. Even in that case, you can talk about a guy that's a home run hitter.
Yeah.
But I still can't even point out most of the guys who are home run hitters.
Yeah, that's true. Julio Jones is a home run hitter. But that said, he's not a top 10 wide receiver. So.
No, I mean, Roddy White is better overall right now.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's probably just about it for this show. You got anything else to add here?
No. I mean, I'm frustrated with stupid coaches. You know, stupid coaches that make stupid decisions.
I'm frustrated as a fantasy player with quarterbacks that spread it around too much and are hurting tight ends and wide receivers. So that's it. I mean, nothing you can do about that. So
nope.
It's a weird league.
Nope, you got to keep playing. But
God love him, Peyton Manning gives you points, and he spreads the ball to Decker and Thomas. That's it.
That is it.
But you can start those guys every week, and you can start him every week, and that's rare in today's.
It's fine. I don't care if there's going to be a down game. Everybody's going to have a down game. It happens.
Yeah.
But what I want to see is at the end of the year,
good targets.
I want to see good targets, and I want to see 75% of the games where they did something good.
Exactly. And if you look at a team like the Cowboys, you see who the player that gets the most targets spread around too often. So it becomes difficult to know who you can trust. Same thing, you know, with, I don't know, who's up. Even somebody like with a good offense, like. Or an offense that has surprised you, like, I don't know. Who's been... The Falcons, I think, is a good example. I bet you there's been quite a few times Bolden is the guy getting the most targets. Then sometimes, and Pitta will get the least targets.
Oh,
you're sometime,
talking about the Ravens?
Oh, sorry, what did I say? The Falcons?
The Falcons,
yeah. I meant the Ravens. Well, the Falcons is another good example. I bet you there's times when White has got the most targets, times when Jones has, and times when Gonzalez has. And when White doesn't get the most targets, he might be number three or four even, and instead of number two still. So you just don't know. At least, say this about the Broncos. Decker and Thomas are 1 and 2 in targets. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
the same thing with the Ravens. Yeah, I mean, Pitta, Smith, and Bolden. And again, it's going to be up and down. Who's getting the most targets, and how far down the list is the other guy fall to? Can he fall to being the number 4 or 5 targeted player that week? Yeah, and that's a killer for fantasy players.
Well, it's almost to the point now where I want to avoid the supposed top 3 fantasy wide receivers, because all you have to do is look at Calvin Johnson, and you look at how badly teams try to take him out of the game,
yeah,
that it's going to negatively impact his fantasy numbers. Yeah. Nothing to his fault, per se, or even Matt
Stafford's.
Titus
Young finally having a couple of good games might help him, but I think instead people will still say, let Titus Young get 100 yards.
Yeah.
I'd still rather have that.
And it's the same thing. Andre Roberts is having a breakout season because everybody's locking down Larry Fitzgerald.
Exactly.
And their quarterbacking sucks.
There's that. There's that. All right. Anyways, I'm Mo, M-O at We Talk Podcasts. And Mo _ We Talk.
I'm Brett, B-R-E-T-T _ We Talk on Twitter. And Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com.
Anything else to add?
I think I'm going to say we'll see you and we'll beat you.